Boomer and Warner in the Morning, brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text COLD to 393939. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
.803 Aerosmith artist of the day. It is Boomer and Warner and Rhett and Ryan and Peter and Jason.
Boomer, Rhett and Warner and Ryan Pinder are ready for your text.
I got your name right. It wasn't and Ryan and Pinder.
No, I actually feel very important in that because it was first and last name.
Yeah,
everyone else just gets one name.
Yep.
Although they did assume Warner and Rhett were different people, so there's that.
There's a lot going on there.
There is indeed. Peter Klein in today. We're done with you.
Yeah.
Just when we're hitting our groove.
Right. Finally hitting our stride. Off I go.
Timing's everything, they say, man.
Back to the American Hockey League.
Back to 660 traffic.
I'm Tyler Watherspoon.
What's your next shift?
I don't work again until Thursday.
Not a boy. Sleep hard.
That being said, Combat Central airs from 5 to 7 on Saturday, or after the playoff game before the Flames game on Saturday.
After the playoff game.
So when?
Or the Hunter game.
5:30-ish to 7.
So, Jay, what do we have for NFL games this weekend? Because I know we've got Hitman. I know we've got Flames and Oilers Saturday night. How does the old broadcast schedule shake down for the weekend? Because I feel like this would be the kind of week to give that a preview, let people know what they've got.
2:30 p.m.
Saturday or Sunday? What do we got here?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, I had to,
I'm looking at the wrong weekend.
That's not going to help you.
Give me a second.
Okay. Either way, the matchups this weekend, Houston and New England, that is a Saturday night game. The Saturday morning game, we'll see, make sure I get this right, Saturday afternoon, I should say, not Saturday morning. It's night evening.
I was going to say, morning?
And then it's morning.
Yeah, we have the afternoon game on Saturday, for sure.
So Saturday afternoon, that will be the Seattle at Atlanta. Following that game, we will go to Combat Central, then yes, to the Flames and the Oilers. Yep. That's a good day of radio. And then Sunday, two games in your usual Sunday slots.
We have the morning
11
game.
And then a little later, 2:40. The morning game will be the Pittsburgh-Kansas City. That's going to be a good one. That pass rush and defense of the Chiefs against the dynamic offense, the three Bs, Bell, Brown, and Ben. And Kansas City, all of a sudden, Tyreek Hill has been an absolute tyrant.
Right.
Like, what he has done to Kansas City's offense is turned them into what reminds us of, like, the Trent Dilfer-led Ravens. I didn't think it was the Ravens, wasn't it? Like, the worst quarterback to win a...
Yeah, Dilfer was the Ravens.
Like, that kind of a bad offense to, like, whoa, there's a serious playmaker here.
Mm-hmm. There's kicks, big play potential there.
Oh, and it's completely changed. All of a sudden, they can make plays for more than 15 yards, which they've never done with Alex.
Yeah, and you can keep Jeremy Maclin in a kind of his strong point with the
possession kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Travis Kelce. Like, this is a team that has some offensive weapons.
Like this game. Kansas City favored by one. And, of course, the one we're all waiting for. Sunday afternoon should be a gem. Green Bay, Dallas. Dak and Zeke, the two rookies, the 14-2 Dallas Cowboys.
Freezing rain on Sunday, a 90% chance of precipitation.
In Kansas City.
And a high of 34 degrees, which is...
That's zero, basically.
Yeah.
Because 32 is freezing.
And that's in KC?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, because in Dallas, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Got a roof. At least for Sunday games. So, yeah. Well, there's the teaser. We're going to make some money now?
I'm ready.
You ready to make some money? Klein, you want in? Do you want some free money, too?
Yeah, I'm in on this.
Jay? Back to Boomer and Warner in the Morning. Brought
Boomer,
to you by
Warner,
Dumb
and Pinder Sports Select Picks. Brought to you by Sports Select. Never worry again about where your money is going or being held. Make a bet here. Get paid here. Real cash payouts with Sports Select.
Yeah, just some hard, cold cash.
Boomer, Rhett and Warner, and Ryan Pinder are ready for
a lot of names there. Yep. A lot of names. So, here's what we need to do. We're building winning Sports Select tickets. We've been tricking you the last few weeks. We've saved our winners for the big games.
Yep.
Divisional weekend, here we go. Let's start with knowing the point spreads and the payouts with the NFL games. And guys, if you want to stray from NFL, that's fine, but you're already watching. You're already glued. You may as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're already making the picks in our pick'em league.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and crush this thing. Seattle, 4.5-point underdogs on the road in Atlanta. Houston, 15.5-point underdogs in New England. Pittsburgh, a dog in Kansas City. They get 1.5. Dallas 4.5-point favorites over Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, with 7 in a row, going to get 4.5 points just for showing up at the building.
Yep.
As for the your pro line numbers, it is 3.2 for Seattle to win versus $1.70 for Seattle. Houston, 7. Houston's paying 7.
Take them.
7.
Big money.
I haven't seen 7 all year, I don't think. That's crazy. A tie's paying 6.25. My goodness. And New England is nothing.
Yeah.
A dollar and a nickel. Gross. As for the Sunday games, Pittsburgh, 2.55 to win in Kansas City. They're 2.15. Tie pays 3.10. That game count, maybe that's your tie. And Green Bay, 3.2. Dallas 1.7. Rhett, would you like to lead
I've
off?
Got
it's
it.
A lot of numbers.
I've got it, boys. Got it? Okay. It's not hard. It's very easy. Fill it out. Cash it in. Seattle. It's going to be the one team on the road to win.
Wow.
Going with Seattle. You don't want to touch Houston, New England, because there's no sense picking New England. It's going to go over.
Oh, we can take the over.
Ooh,
we're like going to go over.
Wow. Mixing in the over-under. 44 and a half is the...
Bill Belichick's not afraid to run it up.
They might have 44 at the half.
Exactly.
Houston's not going to give you much, but...
Pittsburgh, KC. Tie.
Ooh, you saucy.
Cold weather.
Yes. Kickers
two good
late.
Teams.
Feels like it.
Yes. And?
Green Bay, Dallas, the big one.
You can't have too many road teams winning on the weekend. This is a tight game.
Is it
like
a tie
Green Bay.
Or a Dallas win?
Dallas win.
Wow.
$100. It's going to win me. Wait for this now.
Ready, Klein?
Okay.
$14,177.
Do you have something else, Cliff? How in the world?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, I don't.
I have $2,867.
Yes, you're
which
right.
Is still nice.
Close.
I had
very close.
I was going to do a hardwoods. I forgot I had it on. Maybe I'll throw
like
them in
six
there.
Six other NBA
the
games.
Knicks are going to win.
Oh, come on. You don't even know they're playing.
And Phoenix is going to win.
Do they still have a team?
He's taking Rutgers over Northern or Northwestern.
Yeah, St. Clair over San Diego.
Yep.
I don't even know what sport that is. Sure. Kleiner, you want to rock and roll?
Oddly enough, I'm actually taking Phoenix over Dallas on the hardcore tonight. Dallas has really struggled this year, so I'm going with the Suns paying 270.
Ooh.
At home. Going with a little puck as well.
Good.
The Dallas Stars paying 2-1 at home against Detroit tonight.
2.0. Detroit's been awful.
Yep. So give me that. And then football, I'm skipping Saturday. On Sunday, I'm taking Pittsburgh to win outright.
Yep.
And then you mentioned it's going to be close between Dallas and Green Bay. So close that I'm taking the tie.
Ooh,
like that ticket.
So this ticket, $100, pays
$4,957.
Big time Peter Klein.
Big time prime time Klein. Now, what was the payout again? $100 gets you. I talked over you.
$4,957.
That's a nice job.
You
Peter.
Won't need to work until next Thursday.
No.
If you win, you have to come in with breakfast even.
That's the work.
That's if I win that and win almost $5,000, I will bring you guys breakfast.
That's a good boy.
Fair is fair.
Now, if someone wants to bankroll me $100 for that, that's all.
I got your back.
Don't know that's really
I got your back.
Yeah. In there. How about this one, gents? The Vancouver Canucks are a mirage. They're not a good hockey team.
Right?
They are going to win the Sadness Bowl, which is flirting with a playoff spot when you're not going to make it and not getting a really high pick.
Uh-huh.
It's like peak failure in the NHL, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not getting a star in the draft and you're not getting... You know, the revenue or the fan.
Yeah, I mean, Fira, Eric Carlson went 15th overall. It's hard to get a guy that can...
Doesn't happen often. It's not really the support I needed there, Rhett, but thank you. Philadelphia, 1.7 at home against Vancouver. You kidding me? Yeah, I'll take $1.70 for Philly to beat stupid Canucks.
They've been struggling.
They went 11 in a row earlier this year.
Yeah, well,
Voracek's my boy.
Exactly.
Pay off of Voracek. Gostisbehere, I like that team.
Yeah, you love Gostisbehere.
Who's the worst team in the league this year? Just completely falling on their face as compared to expectations.
Colorado Avalanche?
I'm going to get 2.0 for Anaheim to beat Colorado. Can you believe that?
I was looking at that.
You should take
$2.
That.
$2?
Take that.
Yeah.
I know Wilsey would tell us about the altitude, but they played there all year, and they suck at home.
Yeah.
And Anaheim's a much better team. So I'm going to go Philly and Anaheim to win tonight. I'm staying away from the Taylor Hall Bowl. I'm going to go right to football Sunday. I'm skipping the Saturday games.
Why? You chickens.
Well, because there's nothing worth my while. New England at 105 doesn't do anything for me. And Seattle-Atlanta, I don't have a feel how that's going to roll. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh to win outright. And I do like the Green Bay-Dallas tie. So those are my four games. Philly and Anaheim on the ice tonight. Pittsburgh and a Dallas-Green Bay tie on Sunday. I'm going to put $25 down. I'm not as wealthy as you two. Yeah, screw that. I'm putting 50 in. $50 brings me $1,560.50. Guess I have to pay for parking when I'm collecting my dough.
Nice.
Pretty good. $1,500. All right. So pretty easy.
The smart move, probably for all of us, would be to take someone's ticket and do the opposite.
No, which opposite ticket would be the winner?
I'm going to go Colorado.
Oh, dear.
Vancouver.
No.
And I'm going to go with Dallas just because I've had.
Straight up.
Yeah.
And you're avoiding the Pittsburgh KC game?
I'm going to put $100 on it. I'm going to win $1,500.
That was quick. Well done.
Klein, I'm going to give you the money. You've got to go fill out these tickets because when I do it, it's bad luck.
And it's very exhausting. A man of your wealth can't be bothered to use HB pencils and filling out bubble
sheets. No, I'm not exhausted by it. I'm having a bad streak here.
Need the hot luck. Hand.
Yeah. If anyone's had luck in life.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. I've got a lot out of very little.
Mr. Concussion there gets all the breaks.
Yeah.
That's what we're told.
My only concern is if he forgets the picks.
Possible.
If he forgets picks and keeps the money, that could work in your favor, Pete.
No, we lost. It was ages. Real.
Yeah. Did we? I thought the one ticket was good. No. Sure. You just narrowly missed. Yeah, that's too bad.
How did we lose on both? We picked like both sides of each. No, really weird. Ties in all of them.
Yeah, that's the Hardwood game was canceled. We shared the ticket. Yeah.
There was a power outage in Phoenix.
Too bad. 8:15. Those are your Sports Select picks. We need to say thank you to Sports Select for allowing us to have all this fun. We're already watching the games. You mentioned the stupid superstition. You want Klein to fill them out for good luck.
Mm-hmm.
In your playing career, did you have one stupid ritual that you did that looking back was ridiculous, that at the time you thought made a lot of sense that things should go that way, like tie up one skate before the other?
I tapped my stick 3 times when I thought about the other team scoring. Like, knocked on it.
What? Yeah. Like on the ground, on the bench, in the locker room? Where was it when this happened?
During the play.
Really?
Anything.
So if you're on the ice and you were thinking about it, tap, tap, tap.
Yeah.
Looney Tune.
Yeah, like what? What kind of stupidity is that?
I don't know, but it's like we're humans. This is what we do. We're all have a little.
Killing a penalty, stuff like shoot it down the ice. Think, oh, here they come. What if they score? Tap, tap, tap.
Middle of play.
Well, if you were playing on the Flames last year, you would have gone through a lot of sticks.
Ugh, dumb.
Jay, I think that's a brand new rat experience we just unearthed there. Had you heard that before in your history of producing this show?
Tap, tap, tap.
Tap, tap, tap. Now we all have to like rip through archive video and see when you were crapping your pants when you left the school.
Just
as a
every,
kid.
Yeah, tap, every. Tap, tap.
That was what the finals against Colorado.
And I didn't beak people because it was bad luck. Every time I mouthed off to someone, goal. Honestly, it was.
How long did it take you to figure that out?
Not long. A couple years.
So you weren't in Buffalo yet?
Be sitting on the bench and there'd be a draw on our end and the guy I'd be John with a guy. You suck, you're brutal, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, talk it.
They'd win the draw. Goal.
Melted off a lot in that cup final then, hey?
Plus I wasn't that witty to begin with. I'm a real zinger.
I think you're pretty witty. Don't sell yourself short. Jason Lockenfour, let's make some time for him. He's coming up. It's 8:17. Also, a little more reaction to the Flames victory last night. Peter Klein has your Pinder report before we get to 9 o'clock. Derek Wills shortly after. And going to Hawaii, Peter. You've got a little golf talk in the 9 o'clock hour today as they continue.
Hawaii!
Yes.
Hawaii! That's the game. I need to start covering golf.
Golf would be a great
sport. Was it the Wiley?
Cover.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Golf or baseball?
Think about all the places they go. Baseball, here's the thing, though. You don't get a summer ever. I mean, I guess with golf, it's kind of the same.
I don't care. I'm in all the best cities.
Yeah. Oh, darn. I have to spend three days in New York.
Good, because then I can go away in the winter.
Yeah. What about F1?
Hang out in February?
Well, that's a whole. There's a whole another realm of sports that we don't even.
I just mean going around the world to only the sexiest cities and all that.
If you can get that gig, you sign up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. Coming back, Jason Lock and Four, NFL Insider, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text cold to 393939. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, 8:23, picks are in. Reminder to all of those in our Pick'em playoff pool, get those in Saturday action, not Sundays, the regular season. Four games this weekend, the last four-game weekend on the schedule. After this weekend, just three games left. Sad, I know. Aerosmith, your artist of the day. Let's get right to it. Our NFL insider is Jason Lacanfora.
Sportsnet 960's NFL insider Jason Lacanfora, brought to you by Shanks. Don't miss the AFC and NFC divisional round games this Saturday and Sunday at Shanks North and Shanks South. Catch all the games. Shanks Sports Grill, your NFL playoff headquarters.
Well, Jay, you compound the fact that we had a bunch of blowouts on Wild Card Weekend and the fact that there is more games this weekend than will be left after this weekend. It better be good, and it should be good.
Yeah, I think so. This is often the best weekend of the season. I think for the most part, Houston aside, you've got, you know, arguably the best teams in all of football remaining. You know, I certainly in the NFC, it's 1-2-3-4, right? And I don't think anybody would argue in the AFC that New England, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh, in whatever order you want to put them in, are the three best teams in that conference. You know, and look, that was pre-Derek Carr injury. You know, pre-Derek Carr injury, you could make a lot of arguments for the Oakland Raiders, and I would have been right there with you. But that's, you know, that's how it goes. And it should be some very compelling game. I think I say this on the air with you guys a fair amount, and I learned it from my buddy Bart Scott a while back ago. You know, styles make fights. You know, I think a lot of those boxing metaphors apply to some of these NFL matchups. And there's some genuinely intriguing situations here where you've got teams who have sort of opposing strength, and you wait and see who can impose their will on the other.
Is there any formula that or any sort of way you see this game playing out in Houston's favor in Saturday night? I mean, the Patriots, the line opened at 17. It's down to 15. We thought it was going to go the other way.
Me too.
I still would be comfortable with 15. I have no problem eating 15 points. The Patriots have been that good. But is there a silver bullet or something the Texans could do to disrupt that Patriots offense and everything, I guess?
Well, I mean, turnovers are always that great equalizer. I mean, if – and now look, it's not – it's not in New England's nature to do this. I mean, somebody did a study a few years ago about the number of fumbles lost and then the number recovered by the opposition at Gillette Stadium. And the number of fumbles that the Patriots lose at home was infinitesimally small. Then you couple it with the fact that their entire quarterbacking core, which consisted of three guys this year because they're Hall of Famer, was suspended for a quarter of the season, combined to throw two interceptions. And the odds would tell you, well, if the only way Houston can win is if the other team turns it over four or five times, well, the odds of the Pats with Brady in Gillette in the playoffs coming off a bye having an absolute meltdown game with the football, that's not what they do. But I think that's what it would take. You know, and a guy's fumbling. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a terrible game from Brady. He throws a ball, it goes through somebody's hands, it bounces off their shoulder pads, it's now a jump ball. A.J. Bowie high points it, returns it 60 yards. And then Clowney tips a pass, you know, gets his fingers to a pass, catches it himself, you know, pick six. A couple of things like that have a way of you know, certainly evening things out, but I think that's what it would take. It's going to take a series of game-changing plays from Houston's defense and or special teams. It's going to take Brock Osweiler then managing not to give those points right back with the kind of stuff that he does on a regular basis. And that's where I think it becomes increasingly difficult for Houston to win the turnover battle, because I tend to think Brock Osweiler going into that environment is good for two to three turnovers himself.
Yeah. The early Saturday game, Seattle to Atlanta. I think a lot of people would like Seattle if it was in Seattle, but
yeah,
Atlanta on that turf without Earl Thomas in the Seattle's secondary.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of try to look into Seattle's psyche a little bit and what Matt Ryan did to them in Seattle, especially in that third quarter. I mean, he had a third quarter where they put up 21 or 28 points. I mean, it was – he absolutely destroyed that defense in a way. You know, I hadn't seen it since Pete Carroll built it up. Now, that in that game, Cam Chancellor was the one who wasn't playing, but Earl Thomas was playing. But Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman got into it on the sidelines. And, you know, they ended up having a big powwow and guys jumping up and down. And that, you know, everybody in Seattle remembers that. And everybody in their coaches' meetings and their cornerback meetings, their secondary meetings, has brought that up, that this dude shredded us to the point where we were literally almost having a mutiny on the sidelines amongst ourselves. I tend to think, even without Earl Thomas, that will bring out a little something special in Seattle. I like Russell Wilson in big moments pretty much all the time, and he's healthier than he's been probably since training camp. He's back doing that thing with Doug Baldwin where when they need to, they take a game over and the ball just finds him. And while Jimmy Graham hasn't been as vibrant lately, certainly this was his best season in finding his way in that offense and in the red zone, in small, tight situations and seam routes over the middle. Russell Wilson's become more willing to just throw some jump balls to him and see what he can do. I think that even if it's a high-scoring game, I think Seattle may be able to keep pace or close to it. If Vic Beasley gets off on that fast track against a not very good offensive line, then that's certainly a great equalizer. But, you know, I want to see Matt Ryan's regular season form in the postseason. You know, I'm waiting for that breakout playoff game, and certainly the stage should be set for it now. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. I tend to think guys like Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett and Frank Clark will have a little something to say about this as well. You know, people don't talk about Seattle's pass rushers the way they do some other teams, and they kind of do it collectively. They don't have that Vic Beasley guy who's out there, you know, with 15, 18 sacks or whatever. But I think they'll find a way to pressure Matt Ryan.
Great place to play a game, Arrowhead, but the weather looks like it's going to be a little rough. Does that play into anyone's advantage?
You know, I think the one element that Kansas City has really added to their arsenal this year in a big way is speed and explosion. And if it's a fast, I'm sorry, if it's a slow track, if it's muddy, if it's windy, and you know, if it's throwing off the timing, then we'll see. I think ultimately both teams are going to want to run the heck out of the football, though. In Pittsburgh, as much as we talk about Big Ben and what they do in the passing game, Ben struggled, especially on the road at times this year. And when they've won eight in a row, and the way they've really done that is by funneling that offense through Le'Veon Bell and making, you know, guys like Brown a little bit more of a complementary player. They're not really throwing to set up the run anymore. They're running to set up play action and those occasional big plays. So, I think a dominant run game, you can pack that on the road and travel that and take that anywhere. You know, and this is another one where Alex Smith, you know, if there was a game or an opportunity to start to shed that game manager, facilitator, you know, he's kind of the core QB as point guard. But, you know, a distributor, a guy who doesn't hurt you, but maybe not a guy who's making other people better. Maybe not a guy who's lifting the team up when they need it. Can Alex Smith get over the hump? You know, I know they finally won a playoff game last year, and they beat up on a Texans team that, let's face it, had already hit their peak and plateaued. And beating an AFC South team in the playoffs, you know, yeah, that's their first playoff win in 20 years. I get it, monkey off their back. But it's not like people are saying, oh, they're back now. So we'll see. This could be something of a deciding moment for Alex Smith.
What about for Andy Reid there? They have to be happy with how things have turned around, but again, just the one playoff win, right?
I mean, right, with Kansas City. Now, obviously, Andy went to five championship games, NFC championship games, when he was in Philadelphia. Andy Reid's stats, playoff and regular season, coming off a bye, I think he's 19-2. It's kind of phenomenal. And you give him an extra week to prepare. And let's face it, I don't think the Chiefs spent a whole lot of time worried about the Dolphins, do you?
No.
Even last week leading up to that game, I mean, I'm pretty safe in assuming that the bulk of whatever they installed the week before they went and watched that playoff game was geared around stopping the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he's basically had 2 weeks to prepare for Pittsburgh, and he's getting them at home, and he's getting them with his team, the Chiefs, being pretty healthy. You know, they're going to get Ware back. They say they're going to get Justin Houston back. So, I mean, it should be a heck of a football game. I think it turns into sort of an old-school backyard brawl where it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust and very physical play at the point of attack and somebody breaking some big run or some big return. And obviously, when you got guys like Antonio Brown and Tyreek Hill involved in your special teams, that could happen at any moment. I think it ends up being a play like that that decides this game.
Finally, we talked about it all year. Two rookies in the spotlight in Dallas, and now 4.5-point favorites after a 14-2 season. They get arguably the hottest offense in football in Green Bay.
Very different set of circumstances than what they've dealt with all season long. It really has been adversity-free. They've had a lead in most games. They've come out firing on offense. They've been able to protect the defense because the defense can pin its ears back because the other team gets unbalanced and has to throw more because they're chasing the game early. I mean, you couldn't write a better script for Dak Prescott. I mean, you really couldn't with the way the run game's been dominant, with him just sort of having not to – I mean, they've won all these games, and the guy never throws the ball more than 25 yards in the air downfield. I mean, he just doesn't. You know, they're right at the bottom of the league in that, yet the offense is overall – incredibly productive. And I, the first quarter of this game, and people say this all the time, and a lot of times I think it's BS, but because of how green those guys are and because of how high the expectations are now and because it's Dallas and everything gets blown out of proportion more quickly than it should and the owner has a lot to do with that, if they're down and because of the way Aaron Rodgers is playing and they're going against the best player in the league in peak form, this cannot be a situation where Dallas is down 14-0 after the first quarter. That will snowball, and I could see them getting blown out of the gym. They have to win the first quarter. And I don't think they'll ask Dak to do a whole lot. They'll try to play ball control. They'll try to do it with Zeke. But a fumble, a bad break, just something that early on where you start to say, man, maybe that magic carpet ride is over. Maybe, you know, maybe these guys are going to get a dose of reality here about what you usually go through as a kid in the NFL. I think it could turn quickly. If it's if they survive the first quarter, then, you know, they were the better team all year, and I bet they persevere. But they cannot get off balance to the point where it's predictable and you know they're throwing on second down because they're chasing the game. That will lead to turnovers, I'm convinced. Prescott in the second half of games has not had to throw a whole lot of passes where he's behind.
25 minutes away from a meeting in San Diego, reportedly, where a lot of people are expecting it will be made official, the Chargers, at least to their staff, moving to L.A. Some people saying this is surprising or shocking.
No.
This has been years in the making, maybe a decade plus.
It's the least surprising thing that happened in the NFL to me all season. I mean, I've been reporting since week one. They had Dean Spanos had every intention of moving unless something, some sort of Hail Mary came, whether it came in the form of a referendum vote for a new stadium in San Diego, where internally they thought maybe they could get 45%, but never did they think even themselves they would get close to the 2/3 vote that they would need to get that stadium. It turned out in November they got barely 40%. At that point, he went to other owners and was telling them, and I was reporting, hey, I'm out. Like, this is over. Prepare for two teams in L.A. I'm not going to announce it until January, but I don't have any choice here economically the way we look at it. We're going to L.A. Now, today, you're right. He's going to tell his employees, and they'll quickly put a press release out, and that will be that. But anyone who thinks this is a surprise or an upset, it blows my mind. I mean, I guess some people still buy into this sort of narrative that, well, his heart's in San Diego. Dude, the Raiders left Oakland and came back. The Browns, the Cleveland Browns, storied franchise, moved to Baltimore because the Baltimore Colts, storied franchise, winner of NFL championships in the pre-Super Bowl era and winners of Super Bowls in the Super Bowl era, a team loaded with Hall of Famers, moved to Indianapolis. So I'm supposed to believe in the year 2017, a year after they just told Dean Spanos, we don't like your plan, we're going with the richer guy's plan, Stan Kroenke, and here's your out, here's your safety valve, you can go with them in a year. I'm supposed to believe that because Dean Spanos has such an affinity for San Diego and just couldn't bring himself to leave, that he's going to turn down a, what over the course of his lifetime will be a $1 billion subsidy to go to L.A. without it taking on any of the risk. Yeah, he's got to be the tenant to Stan Kroenke, but, like, where am I living? You know what I mean? This is the NFL. Follow the money. Like, no, he's going, man. Unless you give him a better deal, he's going, period.
So what's the plan?
And he's gone.
What's the plan for Oakland then? Not that they're terribly related, but, again, Oakland was one of those teams in the mix of what's going to happen in L.A. a year ago when all this unfolded.
At this point, unless... I'll go back to the lame Hail Mary metaphor. At this point, unless there is a emergency city council meeting in Oakland and they get on board with the mayor and they sit down with Ronnie Lott and some of these developers and provide more than just a term sheet, they provide some sort of real fiscal commitment that, forget about Mark Davis, that gets Eric Grubman from the NFL and gets Goodell, and they look at it and say, because all they just want a reason to stay in Oakland, but it's there has to be more than sort of some arbitrary numbers on a term sheet. If that manifests itself between now and March, because Mark Davis, he's going to file those relocation papers soon, and he's going to want this to come to a vote at the league meeting at the end of March, unless there's real substantive progress made from Oakland, the league is already in the process of changing its tune, where in the past they've been advising owners, Oakland's a better market, look at all the bankruptcies in Vegas, look at the lack of business infrastructure beyond the gaming industry in Las Vegas, look at the gross median income in Oakland versus Vegas, look at foreclosures in the Bay Area versus Vegas, look at the booming tech sector in Oakland and all the tech companies that are leaving Silicon Valley to go to downtown Oakland because it's a little bit more affordable. And look at the TV market. You're talking about the number 4 TV market in the country to the number 40 TV market in the country at a time when ratings are down. But all that changes if there is, if they truly believe we're at the deadline now and there isn't anything that we can really trust in Oakland. And we got $750 million in free money that we're not looking that gift horse in the mouth too long. So that's where it stands. And at this point, there's every indication that they're going to go to Vegas in a couple of years and that will be approved this spring, again, unless something changes in Oakland.
Can you reassure me that Sean McDermott's going to be a good coach?
Oh, dear.
That's
very ballsy.
I think the problem there, like, we can talk about the coach. Like, we could pin it down at that micro level if we want. But, the best organizations, the best franchises is from the owner on down. Terry Pegula is a very nice man. Terry Pegula is a good soul. Terry Pegula wants to win. He just doesn't know how to do it yet. And he doesn't have the right people in his ear. And he doesn't know how to build that franchise. And the people who are telling him what to do have their own best interest at heart, but not really the city of Buffalo, not Bills fans, and ultimately not Terry Pegula. He needs to clean up his front office. I suspect a year from now, Doug Whaley is gone, and there's a sweeping changes on the personnel side. And then if they start to make better roster decisions – and there's more harmony in that building, and there's more of sort of a cogent plan, and, you know, that they build incrementally, and they stop doing some of these ridiculous contracts like Marcel Darius and like the way they structured Tyrod Taylor's, then, yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. And I think he will spend a lot of money, and he will give people what they need, but he's got to give the right people what they need. He's got to empower the right people. I think Sean McDermott is a step in that direction, but a coach can only do so much. You know, they've really bungled some things there, and I don't know that there's a whole lot of belief in league circles that front office as presently constituted is going to be able to build a long-term winner there. Maybe they'll finally prove people wrong, but when you're hiring your third coach in less than 5 years, that's probably not a good sign.
Yeah, it's just amazing because you're right about Mr. Pegula. He's great, but the fact
everybody loves him. Yeah. It's just that he's sort of misinformed, you know, and he still hasn't built a network of people outside of Western New York, you know, whether it's other owners or just other businessmen, people who can kind of speak his language to show him that loyalty is great, and it's awesome. That's one of your fundamental tenets. But you got to be more careful about who you're loyal to and how loyal you are to them.
Fascinating stuff. Good as always. Enjoy the games, Jason. And as you said, best weekend of football, probably this one.
Sounds good, guys. Enjoy. Thank you.
Knocking for him, our boy. Anything you hear about any of those games that strikes you? I mean, the relocation, that's fascinating to me, not just because, you know, I was a Chargers fan growing up, but because Oakland and then what's the Jacksonville next? Like, this is a league that's very good at collecting money.
I cannot wait to cheer for the Las Vegas Raiders.
I don't know if you're joking or not, right?
Like, no, I'm not joking. I'm dead. That ballpark that they're playing,
awful.
It's awful.
Yeah. But again, the Bay Area is now underserved, which the league doesn't want because Santa Clara is not San Francisco. They used to have two teams, and in your scenario where they go to Vegas, now you have one team outside of the Bay Area.
All of which I don't care about as a Raider fan.
No,
I'm just happy they're getting off
of
that ball diamond for the first 8 weeks of the season.
Fair. Yeah, awful stadium. And for maybe the Oakland Athletics can actually get a baseball stadium.
Maybe.
Who knows how this unfolds. Yikes. 844. Lots to get to. Pinder Report, what you want to talk about. And Derek Will shortly after 9. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning. Brought to you by Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Eliminate the extra cost and discomfort of cold floors and rooms with a chill. Get your crawl space properly sealed and insulated. Text COLD to 393939. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yes, big shout out to Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, the title sponsor of said morning show, Boomer and Rhett and Warner in the Morning or something like that. I don't even know. It is Pinder filling in. Boom, boom, back tomorrow. That's the plan.
We'll see.
And the Flames are hosting.
Hosting, yeah.
New Jersey tomorrow.
Yeah.
Peter Klein's been trying to trick you in his updates.
He's trying to trick all of you to go to New Jersey.
Not to be trusted.
Nope.
It is a game.
Don't go to Jersey. Trust me, no matter what.
Not missing it.
See, my problem is, you know that thing that we talk about with players, like right before the All-Star break, they're already looking forward to it? I'm already looking forward to a nice little 8 days off.
There you go. These are the dog days.
You've packed the morning show. What you're saying?
You won't have to work till 11 and then show up at 4 in the morning the next day. It's going to be a plus for you.
Going to very much look forward to that.
Well, let's stick with the dishonest and untrustable one, as it's time for a Pinder Report with Peter Klein.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
One last chance to sabotage the morning show. The floor is yours, Peter.
The Calgary Flames hosting the San Jose Sharks at the Dome in Calgary yesterday. This one was very entertaining and very good, and Calgary looking for the lead in the third period.
Giordano across the line, Hamilton with a long shot, he scores!
Dougie Hamilton. Maybe not the best of goals, but it was a goal. 3-2 the final score.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Dell is going to file that one away.
No, that's a rough one.
Here's a highlight reel of some of my worst goals allowed. That was one of them. Yes. That would be the highlight reel.
Absolutely. That would be at the top of it. 3-2, the final score. The Flames host the New Jersey Devils Friday night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tkachuk, star one. Uh-huh. Burns, number two, the goal. And helper as well. And Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
Three games in a row, we've liked them.
Two big saves late.
Star number three, two breakaway saves. One on penalty shot, the other with 8 seconds left. How does that happen? I don't know.
No idea. Three other games in the National Hockey League last night. Alex Ovechkin with points 1,000 and 1,001. A couple goals against the Pittsburgh Penguins, 5-2 the final.
Did you see the second goal, Rhett? The one-timer on the power play from his patented top of the left circle?
Never seen him shoot from there. It was cool that he's adding to his repertoire.
Boy, just another wrinkle to watch for. 97 miles an hour they clocked that thing. They're getting a little better at this in-game, finding the speeds of shots. Good chance, Marc-Andre. Wave your arm if you
can
see it.
Stop the puck, you sieve.
That's a pretty tough job to do. Yes, and Washington cruising all of a sudden.
Yes.
1 point back of Columbus. 16 wins.
Yeah,
we're clear of that. Well, we've got a one-point bulge on Washington.
The Canadiens scored 7 against the Winnipeg Jets in a 7-4 victory. Paul Maurice looked like he was about to have an aneurysm.
Yeah, Paul Maurice not in great spirits. Hey, coach, are you going to dissect this one?
Well, you deal with it. You know, we're not sweeping this one under the rug. We're going to take a good look at all of it.
Ooh,
good luck.
Be a fun couple days around the MTS Center.
Enjoy the video room, boys.
The Panthers, 2-1 win over the Islanders thanks to 29 saves from former Islander great Roberto Luongo. The Hitmen ending their road trip with an overtime win in Prince Albert. Vadislav Yeryomenko, or something like that, scored in overtime to give Calgary the 5-4 win. Jordy Stallard in his first game against his former team less than 24 hours after it was his current team, scores against Calgary.
It's also confusing.
Yes, it is. The Hitmen open a four-game homestand Saturday against Prince George. In the NFL, the Chargers are no longer the San Diego Chargers. They will be the Los Angeles Chargers. Apparently new logo coming in the next little bit as well. This ends a 55-year stint in San Diego and returns them to their birthplace. Meanwhile, the Denver Broncos introduce Vance Joseph as their new head coach, and the Buffalo Bills hired Sean McDermott, who just got a ringing endorsement from Jason Lockham for a couple moments ago.
If I may, just once, as a man and a boy at one time that cheered for the Chargers, the only team I've ever cheered for in the NFL.
Okay.
How you can move a team, okay, we get that. You can't get a stadium. But Dean Spanos, if you screw this thing up and we lose the powder blue jerseys.
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
You need to be moved to a different league and a different sport. Mm-hmm. Do not screw the powder blues. Change the name, change the team, change the city, change the stadium. Do not lose the powder blues, the best looking jersey in sport.
No, completely agree with that. And that's the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
All right, nice and condensed. That leaves us about 4 minutes for, well, what can be dangerous. The ATV Financial Fan Feedback Line at 960-960. It is what you want to talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. It's the big new year, big new deal sales event. No payments for 90 days and up to 18 grand in discounts. Red Hot Rams from payments of $62 and Dodge Journeys starting at $17,900. VarsityChrysler.com.
Hey, Rhett, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but that hit on Tkachuk and the empty net hook and slash on Johnny, is this the Weidman effect?
Oh, for sure.
There were a few calls they did not get. I was stunned.
It's
the wide dog.
It's really something.
Got dumped in his own zone. I wonder.
Are you crazy?
Is there an Don Henderson? What are you doing?
What are you up
to? The competitive balance of the NHL thrust into doubt. Or just, you know, bad night for the Zebras.
Yeah. Or they just decided not to call it.
Right. The powder blue jersey is the worst jersey ever made.
They are
be
pretty bad. I'm not They're sure why you believe these things are good.
Best looking in sport.
Ugh. Well, not that. Like, the silver and black is the best looking jersey.
You're a Raider fan, and we're going to have to ask you to leave soon.
Yes, I'm the one letting my fandom get in the way of proper judgment here.
Whatever. That's widely considered one of the best looking jerseys in sport.
I agree. The silver and black is widely considered one of the best looking jerseys in sport.
About. Listen.
Everyone talking about how great they are.
Fan base with probation officers. Them. We don't need their opinions.
Do you love the flaming horse head too?
I love the flaming
horse head. That's ridiculous. The flaming donkey is awful. I got in a fight on Twitter with this with someone last night. They call him Blasty and they loved it.
You're arguing with people on Twitter.
Someone posted a Tommy Abilene flaming donkey jersey like that was a good move.
Grow up, Pinder.
Yeah. Tommy Abilene.
Grow up.
Love that jersey.
Remember Tommy?
Yes.
You know Tommy?
Look like a Lego horse. Do.
Isn't there another goofball at the station that cheers to the LA Chargers? That's a good question. No, it's Corey Mace comes in all the time. D-line coach. We got to go to that barbecue place you recommended too, Jay. That's in the
Hayden Block.
Hayden Block. Hey guys, who's Pinder yelling at every time he moves away from the mic? Clearly Jay. He's in another room. Got to yell to get to Jay. Hey guys, at least Bennett isn't having his best year in a contract year, unlike Gio Monahan, Gaudreau, and Boma.
Yeah, we said that yesterday.
Very nice that you podcasted yesterday's show and came with the hot takes a day late. Hate that the Flames have the Oilers on the backside of their back-to-back. You've got to hammer New Jersey on Friday.
The luck has been all against Calgary when it comes to playing in teams in back-to-back situations.
Because they got San Jose last night, and they will get New Jersey tomorrow.
Just can't
happens to everyone, people. There seems to be camps in each city that knows for sure. Like, you ask them, NHL screwing us.
Yep.
But in Edmonton and Calgary, both convinced that
their
team has the worst setup on those back-to-backs.
Yeah. I think I'm getting screwed. My fly's broken.
What?
Yeah.
Can't do it, my fly.
It's been a little strange watching Rhett try to fix this.
I was wondering what was happening down there. I have to be honest. There was some busy work around the...
it won't go up.
The what bathing suit zone. There's what was it doing down
there was a lot of
in this room?
Yanking and a lot of...
I had
if we
to leave
took a pick
the...
right now, you would not... Yeah. Not look good.
What's the problem?
Lucky we're not on TV.
Are you off the
this
track?
This would be an issue with the TV.
Thank God we're not on TV.
People ask about that. This is why.
Yeah. Is the zipper off the track?
No.
It's on the track.
It's just stuck.
Hey, do you want to watch us eat and watch Warner mess with this fly? Put us on TV.
Yep.
No, we're good. Hey, Rhett, how's your joystick? How are we going to fix this? Do you have things to do today? Can you go home?
I've got a couple meetings that I need to participate in.
Well, you'll be sitting down.
Important
for those.
Meetings were well, ones that you could attend with, you know,
it's a long
preferably
I'm
your pants
dressed
on. Up, aren't I? I look pretty good.
Yeah.
Decent. I mean,
you're the best dressed person in this
room. No, you're not wearing a suit, is what I'm saying. No. You look sharp, but you are wearing jeans. This isn't a suit.
How do you fix a broken fly?
Is it like a paperclip trick or something?
I need some pliers.
Paperclip trick.
Pliers.
Flyers.
Flyers on the sports luck tonight.
Go Flyers.
Beat those Canucks. You know what? I think you should go find the most attractive female in the building. See if she can help. It's 9 o'clock.
And that's the day I took over as full-time co-host.
Thank you, yeah.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. It's the Big New Year, Big New Deal sales event. Purchase any vehicle and get an autographed jersey and an exclusive skate with Calgary's Captain Mark Giordano. VarsityChrysler.com.